It's Friday, June 26th. Here's what's happening in Northeast Indiana. Indiana politicos reacted to Thursday's ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court that could oust thousands of Haitians living in the state under temporary protected status. Indiana lawmakers are responding to news that the chairman of the Natural Resources Commission is resigning, citing leadership that has seen fit to, quote, destroy public trust. And Indiana's Family and Social Services Administration, or FSSA, has joined a new program to use AI to detect Medicaid fraud. I'm Brianna Barrow, and this is Who and What. Indiana politicos reacted to Thursday's ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court that could oust thousands of Haitians living in the state under temporary protected status. According to the Indiana Capital Chronicle, estimates on Indiana's Haitian population vary. Some are as high as 50,000, but most put the number in the low tens of thousands. Haitian immigrants have found work in manufacturing plants around Indiana with a large contingent in Logansport. That has helped Cass County buck the trend of rural population decline. Indiana Attorney General Todd Rokita and U.S. Senator Jim Banks praised the decision on social media. But U.S. Representative Andre Carson, whose Indianapolis district represents much of the state's Haitian population, said on social media it was inhumane. In April, Carson voted for a long-stalled measure aiming to extend TPS for Haitians. Haitian immigrants have found a home in Indianapolis and communities across the country, and they deserve to stay here, Carson said in a release then. Indiana lawmakers are responding to news that the chairman of the Natural Resources Commission is resigning, citing leadership that has seen fit to, quote, destroy public trust. As WFYI's Ben Thorpe reports, lawmakers say the move represents a continued sidelining of commissioners by the Braun administration.
Earlier this week, Governor Braun removed the head of the Indiana Utility Regulatory Commission, seemingly because he disagreed with the decision to raise utility rates. Now, Natural Resources Commission Chair Brian Pointer has resigned, saying the Braun administration no longer values the commission's input. Democratic Representative Alex Burton serves on the House Natural Resources Committee and says he believes there's a pattern.
It feels more like ruling with an iron fist, more so than having all the people at the table who are knowledgeable and may have a difference of opinion.
A spokesperson for the Indiana DNR said while they appreciate Pointer's years of service, quote, his letter does not accurately reflect the collaboration among the Indiana Department of Natural Resources, the Natural Resources Commission, and the public. I'm Ben Thorpe in Indianapolis.
Indiana's Family and Social Services Administration, or FSSA, has joined a new program to use AI to detect Medicaid fraud. As WFYI's Ben Thorpe reports, the program is part of a national pilot project supported by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services and the AI company Oracle.
State officials say the AI tool can be used to find waste, fraud, and abuse in Indiana's Medicaid system. In a statement, Governor Mike Braun said he was proud to have Indiana show, quote, every other state how it's possible to administer programs low-income citizens need while still protecting taxpayer dollars. Indiana has already begun a 90-day data-sharing agreement with Oracle in order to detect fraudulent claims before they are paid out. Earlier this year, the FSSA secretary said they sought to recover $200 million of improper Medicaid payments. The pilot will test whether the technology can be expanded to states across the country. I'm Ben Thorpe in Indianapolis.
The ACLU of Indiana has filed to dismiss its class action lawsuit challenging Indiana's ban on gender-affirming care. WFYI's Zach Castle reports.
In 2023, transgender youth lost access to gender-affirming medical care in Indiana after the state passed a ban. The ACLU challenged the law, but now it's moving to dismiss the case. Rulings by the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit and the U.S. Supreme Court last year changed the ACLU's approach, says legal director Ken Falk.
We did not see a viable way of going forward at this time. If the law changes in the future, there is a procedure to reopen this case by someone who's aggrieved.
Since it's a class action suit, transgender youth and their parents may write comments to the ACLU by July 24th. they will submit the comments to the court, which will decide whether a dismissal is fair, reasonable, and adequate. I'm Zach Castle in Indianapolis.
What started as a dorm room project during the pandemic has grown into one of Fort Wayne's most exciting indie rock bands. I spoke with Man of the Flood about their unique origin story, their DIY approach to making music, and what makes Fort Wayne's local music scene so special. I'm joined now by Man of the Flood. Thank you guys for being here.
Thank you. I'm Jess. I play keyboard and I do some backing vocals.
I'm Clayton. I'm the drummer.
I'm Quinn. I play guitar and sing.
My name is Justin and I play bass.
Hey, I'm Louie.
And I play lead guitar and the mustache.
I'm really excited to know what that means.
I'll find out.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I love a surprise. For listeners who may be discovering you guys at Live and Local for the first time, how would you describe your sound?
Indie music that you can mosh to.
Yeah, I like that.
I read that the band started as a dorm room project between Quinn and Clayton. Did you guys ever imagine it would grow into what it is now?
Jess, do you want to tell them the story?
Yeah, so the way I met these guys is I got into college fall of 2020, so there wasn't a lot going on because of COVID and everything, and I was like, I don't have any friends that live in my dorm building. So I made these little business cards with my social media and stuff on them, and I slid them under everybody's door, and the only people that replied to little old me was Quinn and Clayton. Maybe it was only like 2 weeks after we started hanging out, they were like, we have a question to ask you. I was so scared. I thought they were mad at me. They were not mad at me. They wanted me to be their keys player. And here we are. And who would have thought?
And we started hanging out and we had been looking for a keys player for a while or thinking about it. And she said she played keys. So it just seemed logical and it worked out really well. And then she ended up moving in. Like, this was completely unplanned, but she ended up moving just right across the hall. Like, we could write or work on things anytime. And from there, I mean, we've had a bunch of members over time, but in the past year and a half or so, we added Louie, and then we added Justin, and this is just a super solid lineup we have right now that's awesome.
Totally agreed.
I love the idea of just sliding a business card under the door. What a cool journey. So I also read that you describe yourselves as a DIY band. Could you explain what that means?
Yeah, pretty much everything we do, for the most part, is entirely done in-house. I mean, we made all the merch at home. We recorded the whole most recent record at home, but like, yeah, I make the art, we shoot the music videos ourselves. We love making art and doing stuff, so whenever we can, we do it ourselves.
Sometimes it's almost like being restricted by a budget forces you to think in a creative way, so hey.
100%,
yeah,
definitely.
And you just released Sorry Puppy.
Yeah.
How did that, what inspired that record?
Well, if you've ever felt like a bit of a doormat, if you've ever felt like a bit of a doormat in the past,
I knew it was coming.
No, it's a Sorry Puppy is a it's probably our most angsty work for sure, and especially this record is definitely our highest energy, maybe angriest at some point record.
Maybe a good overarching theme would kind of be like growing pains.
Oh, I like that a lot.
To some degree,
yeah.
Like, I feel like a lot of the songs are kind of just about getting older and more mature and life changing a little bit, and
definitely
how that can feel.
Yeah, I'd say that's fair.
And you mentioned being a little bit of a doormat. I mean, I can see you guys are all, you know, maybe in your 20s, early 20s. And so, you know, you kind of are learning heartbreak, maybe not being a people pleaser, kind of that lesson that you
Precisely.
Learn in your early 20s.
Oh, yeah.
One of the goals of Live and Local is really just to spotlight the local talent here in Fort Wayne, local artists, and give them a platform to share their music. What events like this mean for you as a local artist?
Getting the opportunity to play the same stage as some of the other local talent is going to be really exciting.
I think it's beautiful to see this music community sort of thrive, especially because I come from a lot of bigger cities. That's not a flex, but you know, you have a lot of musicians that never really get to meet each other. There's not a lot of like local support for one another. There's a lot of like separation in a lot of music communities around the world. So to see Fort Wayne kind of band together, everybody seems to know one another, everybody seems to care about each other's music. I think it's very important to spotlight local bands because, I mean, Man of the Flood wouldn't exist if it didn't happen in the Midwest with a bunch of different ideas coming together. That's how you get such a unique sound. Otherwise, you just end up very one-dimensional. So this sort of spotlight, I think, is very important to show Fort Wayne other types of music exist outside of very specific genres that tend to be here, so...
I'm actually from Virginia, and so the scene there didn't really exist. And so moving here, like a much smaller city, much smaller town, playing gigs back to back all the time. Never really played gigs that much back at home. It kind of just opened my mind up a lot to how big the scene here was compared to my hometown. I'm so super grateful.
But I mean, that's cool to hear too, especially being from bigger cities or different states, to hear that there is something special about the Fort Wayne community. And, you know, we think so too. And so that's why we like to do this. And thank you guys so much for your time today. We're really looking forward to your performance and can't wait to see what you guys have in store.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Hey, we're Man of the Flood, and this is Bathwater on WBOI. Okay. Tell me what I missed. And is June still pissed?
That would make sense.
They say that the seasons change and the people don't, but I guess they don't know. Maybe I don't.
An extended version of this conversation can be found at WBOI.org. Join us this evening at 7 p.m. as Man of the Flood will bring music you can mosh to, live and local, at the Landing. For more information about WBOI's outdoor concert series, visit WBOI.org/live. More news in a moment.
Support for WBOI comes from Heartland Sings, presenting their summer season, performing family-friendly music at Fort Wayne Parks, Sundays at 3 p.m. Heartland Sings, changing lives through song. Details at heartlandsings.org/events.
Here's what to know for today. City of Fort Wayne officials are collecting comments about the proposed Low Barrier Homeless Resource Center downtown. Drug maker Eli Lilly is restricting access to a drug discount program intended for safety net hospitals. And Congress appears to be making progress towards a new farm bill after years of temporary extensions. That's Who and What for Friday, June 26th. These stories and more can be found at WBOI.org or on the WBOI app. Subscribe to Who and What on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can ask your smart speaker to play Who and What. If you enjoy this podcast, you'll also enjoy our newsletter, Frequency, at WBOI.org/frequency. Music for Who and What is produced by Jack Ankenbruck. From all of us at WBOI, thanks for being with us and have a great weekend.